Welcome back to the Word for Life radio ministry of Brookside Baptist Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin. And I'm Pastor Greg Huffman, counseling pastor and the senior citizens pastor at Brookside. And with me in the studio is Pastor Joe Helm. And we've been talking about just the importance of planning in our families, stewardship planning, and taking care of the future relationships of our children with those that we would deem God would take over our responsibilities if we, according to his plan, came to the end of our life or became incapacitated. So, Pastor Joe, thank you for being with us again, and just continue on where you left off.
Sure, it's great to be with you again, Pastor Greg. We talked last time about guardianship and the need for, as it were, substitute parents in the event that both mom and dad were to pass away or become incapacitated and unable to rear their own children and parent them, and how important that is to have the choices that you know and are confident that will provide the spiritual nurture and rearing that you would have otherwise given your own children. But along with that are also the extremely important concepts of the financial management and the appropriate distribution of funds to your children or on behalf of your children by someone whom you've approved and you've named in your plan. And so in other words, in your will or your trust document, you would name a particular individual or perhaps a corporate entity like a trust company, a professional company that concentrates their business in management of money and the taking care of people and heirs. We call this the trusteeship, and this is an extremely important concept that people have to be aware of because, again, if you don't plan, the government, in a sense, has a plan for you. That means that the local county probate court is not only going to then name guardians over your children of their choosing, but they're going to name a financial manager over your estate. And that financial manager will be in charge of the investment decisions and the expenditure decisions, et cetera. And that may or may not be somebody with the philosophies and the expertise and the qualifications that you might approve. And so it's very, very important to name someone who you have that confidence in.
So you're saying that financial manager would have the right and the authority to say, no, I want you to go to the public schools as opposed to a Christian school if that happened to be his personal philosophy.
Well, sure. And even if your guardian had said, no, we want them to be homeschooled, we want them to go to Christian school or whatever, the financial manager could say, no, I'm not paying for that. And so it's something that's just very, very important that you have an alignment of philosophy and spiritual goals between all of these people that are potentially going to step in the event of your death or disability. Let me give you an illustration of that. Quite a few years ago now, there was a couple who got divorced. And through the divorce process, they had two minor children. I think the kids at that time were like 8 and 10 years old. And through the divorce process, the husband was ordered to alter his life insurance policy to remove his wife and to name his children as the beneficiaries of that policy in the event of his death. Well, just a couple of years later, he did die in an accident.
Wow.
At work. And as a result of that, of course, the life insurance company was contacted. They determined, however, that he had failed to alter his life insurance beneficiary to his children. It remained his now ex-wife. So to make a long story short, we assisted the family situation at that time and were able to get the court order to alter the life insurance policy to be put in trust for the children. Having done that, though, it was done through the state procedures, not through any type of will that the husband had left because he had left none.
Right.
And so as a result of that, we were under the rules of the state of Wisconsin in terms of the distribution of those funds. Now, two very important concepts about that. Number one, we had to go back to the court every time we wanted to spend money.
Every time?
Every time, with two exceptions. We were able to pay out of the children's money attorney's fees and any out-of-pocket expenses that we incurred in the legal actions that were necessary to get these permissions to spend money. And so in other words, you could spend more money on attorney's fees and court costs than the item you wanted to buy.
Oh, my goodness.
It was really quite remarkable.
Right.
Sad, actually. And then we also had to turn over the balance of the money to the children when they were 18 years old. And as one might begin to imagine, that led to tragedy.
Because at 18 years old, not everybody is mature enough to be able to handle a large sum of money.
Yeah, and these days, very few.
Yes.
And so, without going into the details, of course, both of these children had tremendous catastrophe when, on their 18th birthday, they showed up at my office and demanded the balance of their funds, which were no small amount.
Right.
You know, in the hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Right.
And it was just very tragic. And their lives were a mess 6 months later. So extremely important, because as someone who is prepared, as a mom or a dad or a couple, you can leave a document which would detail how you would want those funds distributed,
mm-hmm.
when you would want those funds distributed for education and health and support and money to the guardians if they need it for the additional care costs that they might incur, and then education in terms of college or otherwise, and then an appropriate age at which to make the transition to the children being able to manage their own funds. And when I talk to clients about this aspect of it, I get a little bit of a chuckle because of the look on their face when I mention to them that an appropriate age is 30 instead
okay.
of 18.
Sure, right.
You know, because really it's part of a mentoring process also. It's not just a restriction idea,
mm-hmm.
but it's part of a mentoring process, because how many 18-year-olds know how to evaluate the appropriate type of car to buy or the appropriate size of a home to buy?
Well, a Corvette, obviously, is the number one choice.
And so it's just very, very important that you have these things in place so that you protect your children and you protect, you know, the Lord's material things that he's left you in charge of.
So you will be a good steward of funds and indirectly of your children's lives because of the funds.
Right, exactly, precisely.
Mm-hmm.
To prevent them from, number one, also being taken advantage of by someone.
Exactly.
Or making decisions that are immature and ones that very often have no recourse. You know, once they're done, and you could have a real tragedy.
Mm-hmm. So I guess what you're saying is make sure that you've got everything taken care of. It doesn't sound like this is something that would be easy for somebody just to sit down and write out. You'd need some legal advice.
It would certainly help, yes.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of good resources that you could read
okay.
to familiarize yourself with some of the concepts involved. But it would be like me, you know, trying to repair my own car.
I think that's
not going to happen.
That's a good illustration, because even the terms themselves, you wouldn't understand. And when you're dealing with law terms, you need to understand the law.
And situations are going to be dramatically different between families, even though it might look a little similar. And in many ways, they are similar. But there's potentially going to be some significant differences. Take, for example, a family who's got a special needs child.
Sure.
You've got to know the laws with regard to how to leave sums of money
mm-hmm.
to a special needs child where that money is now going to be protected and not be accessed, you know, by the government, et cetera. So just very, very important to know the different ins and outs of it, depending on your situation, your family, your children.
Now, we've talked about death. Is the same thing true about incapacity?
Oh, very much so. In fact, that may be a great subject to get into a little bit more detail on our next program. But basically what you're referring to there now is if I, as an adult, if I become incapacitated and I'm not prepared for that with the proper legal documents, the same system that had to take over and appoint guardians for my children, the same system, the judge, has to appoint a guardian over me. Not even my spouse has the legal authority to make decisions for me if I become incompetent and I don't have these necessary legal documents. And so it's a very, very surprising thing.
I don't think many people know that.
No, I don't think they do. And your marriage certificate, of course, it does have very significant benefits for a lot of reasons, but not this one. Your marriage certificate gives you no legal rights over your spouse if your spouse becomes incapacitated.
Wow.
And so the guardianship procedure would have to be followed. And then your spouse would have to be the appointed legal guardian over you. And with that legal guardianship, they have the authority, of course, to make your decisions, do the financing and things like that, your medical decisions. But then they have to report to the court every year. Every year they have to go back to court and give a full accounting of how they've handled your half of the estate.
We had to do that a bit with my mother-in-law, and it was just amazing how much it cost just to report to the state.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, very much.
And
so.
And everything was laid out. Everything was in order. But just to file a report was like $5,000.
The red tape and the bureaucracy is significant. And to understand that in advance would be a great motivator to doing a plan and making sure that you're working to avoid all of that to the best of your ability. And there really is no reason not to have a good plan these days, because there's numerous options depending on your circumstances. And so there's really no excuse for not having an appropriate plan these days.
So when we talk about having an appropriate plan, we're talking about being a good steward.
Yeah, it's just recognizing that there's responsibility here to prepare for that day when I'm no longer going to be able to be steward.
Now, as soon as somebody gets married, should they start thinking about wills and pulling together documents concerning just the two of them?
Whether or not they would necessarily need a will would be a part of the process of evaluation as to what kind of assets they have. If they have children, absolutely. Because the very first reason that concretely you know you need a will is when you have children, because then you want to name guardians and trustees to manage the funds that you do leave behind. But for a newly married couple, the most important documents actually are the powers of attorney. In other words, if one of the couple becomes incapacitated, you haven't died, but you're incapacitated, you need to have two documents actually in place, a financial and a medical, that authorizes your spouse to act on your behalf without having to go to court for that guardianship procedure. To keep everything private and free from the system, so to speak, and that is how one would go about, you know, doing that.
So as we consider then powers of attorney, maybe we can talk further about that in our next broadcast, because we're coming to the close of this one. And the idea of having those documents in place and specific enough to deal with all the issues that the state would bring up are basically a part of our giving an account to the Lord.
Yeah, that's right. Preparing for the day when the stewardship is removed, and it's what you leave behind and how it's going to be managed.
And all of us want the Lord to be able to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And in my mind, that means good and faithful steward.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, whether it be my finances or my children or my possessions, we might also want to talk about where does our church fit into that picture. So we're thrilled that you've joined us today. We will continue this same theme next time.